Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeart Radio app.
Yeah, that's right. We're on the air live 1 to 4. If you missed or do miss the live show, you can, of course, check it out on the podcast at KFIAM640.com or the iHeartRadio app. It's all put up there. Right after we finish up about 4 o'clock, looking at the snow totals, Running Springs 12 feet, Big Bear Lake 11 feet, Lake Arrowhead a little over 9 feet. Over the weekend, there were more news conferences about the tough situation that the San Bernardino Mountain community people are having with trying to dig out from the snowfalls that occurred over the last couple of weeks. They admitted that they only knew 24 to 36 hours beforehand that there was a strong potential it was going to be this much snow, and they didn't think, well, they would not have been able to receive the necessary equipment on such short notice to start digging these people out faster. We're going to go for an update now on the whole story up there with Blake Trolley, KFI News.
Blake, just to follow up on that story, sure. Are they saying that since they don't have the equipment, they would never be prepared for something like that, even if they had some more time? It just doesn't exist, all that equipment.
Actually, what Ken was quoting there was directly an answer to my question at the last press conference, because on Thursday, they gave the press conference Friday night. On Thursday night, they did, you know, vow that they would do things differently. So on Friday morning, when we went to the press conference, I had asked them, what does that look like? And I had asked them, you know, if they were disappointed in their response. And essentially, they did say that they would alter their response to get resources faster. That, you know, there were other things that they mentioned, like the fact that, you know, they can't predict the weather, and at one point they talked about the fact that some people weren't actually prepared enough for any sort of disaster. But again, you know, people up in the mountain communities feel like they've been really let down. A lot of people I've spoken with have told me they're, you know, very disappointed in this response. Guys, just recently we got an update that 85% of county roads are passable throughout the mountains. In the hard-hit Lake Arrowhead and Crestline area, that number drops to more than 60%. That was in the last detailed update. I'm assuming that number's come up a little bit. We'll be checking on that. Now, passable doesn't mean these roads are wide open, but rather that at least one lane is open with less than 8 inches of snow and can be driven by a four-wheel drive car with chains. State, county, and private crews have been working around the clock to clear these roads. Private crews, I believe, were able to really ramp up over the weekend. One of the challenges that they had when they brought in these private companies is that these companies weren't outfitted with chains, so they had to actually order chains from the East Coast and have those shipped. Those arrived over the weekend, and today's officials tell me they're trying to figure out how to potentially open the highways leading up to the mountains for residents only. The issue, as it's been described to me, is the highways are in good shape, but as you get into those veiny residential areas, it's hectic, it's icy. We talked about the helicopter tour we did on Friday. That's exactly what it looked like. You get off that highway and it really starts to lock up again. They say with one lane passable, two cars. So again, these passable roads are mostly one lane. So when you have two cars going the same direction, that causes these big pileup delays. Any sort of fender bender causes delays. Cars are breaking down. Their chains are breaking. That's causing a mess. So the question officials say they're asking is, how do we make sure it's only locals going up so we don't create a big mess up there? But just in general, guys, the plowing is still causing issues for people. This man in Cedar Pines Park says he's stuck at his home just from the snow being moved.
Snow plows that come through push the snow to the side of the road, and it creates a large mound that then freezes. And somebody who's 64 years old like I am, I'm not going to be able to get out there and chip away at a 4-foot deep wall of ice.
And the guys, the county tells me hand crews are trying to break these walls down, but that really begs the question, is there enough help right now in the mountains? Should there be the manpower to break up these snow mounds in, you know, in people's driveways so that after the snow is moved, they're able to get people out? And, you know, in this interview, that same man told me that about some supply chain challenges he's facing. He says people he knows, including himself, are going to these distribution sites we've heard about, and supplies are out before they even get there. And it sounds like other people are having challenges
and
as well.
Who's in charge of the supplies here? Who's bringing the food in? Is this a state operation?
So the county is bringing supplies in. There's private donations. The county is bringing a lot of supplies in. They've got a donation line set up. There's private, you know, donated supplies that are also going up. But still, it's not keeping up, you know, with the amount of people there, as they're explaining to me. And I want to go to this woman. She went down the mountain herself to get supplies. She says, you know, her family was running out of food. So she says CHP officers told her she could go down and pick up groceries and that she'd be able to get back up. This was last week. She says she went down the mountain, loaded up, and when she went to head back up the mountain, they wouldn't let her back up. Trunk full of groceries. You got some waiting for you at the store. What's the situation?
Right now at my house, they have nothing. They're going through cabinets like you're looking for anything they can find. My husband says he's sharing the cat food with the cat. I tell him don't eat the cat, though. there's no groceries left in the house.
I'm being told, somebody I know in Cedar Pines Park told me that the sense of desperation up there seems to be growing. Would you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that. You know, they're going day by day, and my husband's getting frustrated, you know, more and more. And he's an older gentleman, and he can't get out and do things like he used to do and stuff. And my granddaughter's out there now trying to dig a car out so maybe she can get some groceries or something. I don't know, but it's her by herself doing it, and it's hard.
And so how frustrating is that for you to know? I mean, this has got to be hard. Your family's up there. They're running out of food. You have food down here, but you have no access. They're not allowing you to access back into that area.
Exactly. And it breaks my heart because I think of them more than I do anything, and I can't get the food to them. You know, it's here in my car. I have no way to get it up there, and I'm sitting here with all of it, and I don't know the answer to it.
Why wouldn't they let her up with her food? They let her down. Why can't she take the same path up?
Exactly.
If she's got a husband living on cat food, what's wrong with the law enforcement there?
It's a really, you know, there's a lot of questions there, right? I mean, she's got a car full of groceries. And again, as it was described to me, they're trying to figure out how to let locals go back
up that
mountain.
What do you mean? What does that mean, try to figure out how? There's a path there, right? And she came down it. So why can't she now go up the way she came? Because you said 85% of the roads are clear. So what's to figure out? Just check her ID, look to see that she's got a lot of groceries, let her tell her story, and then let her up. I don't think she's there to loot the place.
There are a lot of questions right now, John, about why that's taking place. And she says she's not alone. Other people are you know, describing the same situation. I've been told that on 3:30, because people have figured out about this, they're parking on the other side of the CHP closure. Some people are parking on the other side, and they're actually walking down to pick up groceries and bring them back up. So trust me, I have the same questions as you. Why isn't she allowed back up?
Who's in charge there?
So that's a question for CHP, and I'm working to figure out exactly what's happening. But as it was described to me,
like, who does a woman like that appeal to? Who's making those decisions beyond, you know, the dumb cluck at the gate, who's not allowing anybody up? I mean, who's above him? Who's the supervisor? I don't understand any of this.
It's a really hard story to follow in a lot of ways. And this is why, because we hear these stories and we don't really understand exactly why or why these decisions are being made. Again, what was described to me today is we don't want to just open the floodgates, allow a bunch of people to go up there and gridlock the roads that are already having challenges. But your question as to, well, you let her down, she was able to get down. Why isn't she allowed to go back up? That's my question as well.
You could let them one at a time or give them an escort. But if she's an older lady with a car full of groceries and a husband eating cat food, she gets to go up. And then you take the next case. And you see a bunch of kids with snowboards. All right, maybe you don't let them up. Mm-hmm. But you got to make some decisions here.
And I should say this, you know, I spoke to one official about this, and she said, you know, it could have been officer error that the officer told her something, you know, that essentially they shouldn't have told her. But regardless, that's bad communication, and that put her, you know, in this situation. So she's frustrated, and there's a lot of people that are frustrated right now with the situation, trying to get down the mountain, get their supplies. And you know, John, it leaves me and a lot of people with questions as to what exactly is going on.
It's been a long time now.
And that's another thing, you know, guys, just as a point of contention that people are talking about is, you know, the snow, the thick of this snow has been, you know, it came down quite a while ago. You know, at this point in time, people up there are starting to feel like there should be a lot more movement by now.
It's like over 10 days, isn't it?
Well, I think the thick of the snow would have been about a week ago, because they had that other storm that came through.
The second storm,
yeah. Yeah, there was two storms. But the first storm came through almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's like 12 days Wednesday. Or something.
Well, they
like
should
that.
Have been able to get it together, you know, before that first storm. I mean, it's been two full weeks to get it together, and it seems like they're not.
You know, and that's where I really wonder about manpower. Was enough manpower sent to this? Because even if, you know, you talk about these roads being closed, you can't let people go back up the mountain because you don't want the roads to gridlock. I think people might also feel like, well, shouldn't the roads be at a point by now where we can allow locals to go up or allow people to go up given that much time?
All right, we're lucky it's not still snowing. All right, thank you very much, Blake.
All right, guys.
Blake Trolley, KFI News, covering the people up in the San Bernardino Mountain communities and their ordeal with the big snow. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Making news this afternoon, a name that might be familiar to many people because he used to be Channel 4's chief on-air medical correspondent, Dr. Bruce Hensel, pled guilty today to no contest to one count of soliciting a minor with the intent to commit a crime. He was apparently texting a 9-year-old girl for nude photos. That was in 2019. He was arrested.
Yeah, I know, but I'd forgotten about that case. And I forgot.
Turns out that she was the daughter of an acquaintance. It's not a stranger.
He was a big deal on Channel 4 for years.
He's 74 years old.
Yeah, he was a long time medical expert.
Well, it might surprise you a bit. He's getting probation.
No.
And he hugged the father inside a downtown courtroom.
What's that about?
But he's getting sex offender status. So.
Yeah, but shouldn't the guy be locked up? Because he did this just 3 years ago, correct?
He took full responsibility for the conduct.
So
the father was in court and related that the family was aware of the extensive treatment he has undergone since the incident, and they forgive him.
What treatment?
The family expressed hope he could prosper and care for people in the future as he has as a physician before.
There's no treatment for that. What is this? Yeah. This is crazy land. You can't treat what you get sexually aroused over. You're stuck with that till you're dead. Doesn't matter what it is.
The texts were pretty clear that he wanted to see nudies of this little girl.
Oh!
Now.
Oh, he should be locked up. Guys like that ought to be locked up. Period. There's no debate on this. You can't fix that.
In the very southwest corner of Texas is a town called Brownsville. Right across the border in the country of Mexico is a place called Matamoros. You may have heard today that gunmen kidnapped 4 U.S. citizens who crossed into Mexico from Texas. This actually happened last week. They were allegedly there to buy medicine. I'm hearing today that there was a case of mistaken identity by those who attacked them and abducted them. But I don't have an update that they've been found yet. They were in a white minivan with North Carolina license plate. They entered the city of Matamoros from Brownsville. All 4 Americans were placed in a vehicle and taken from the scene by armed men. The FBI is offering $50,000 for the victim's return and the arrest of the kidnappers. This even quoted the Mexican president actually had something to say on this. He claims they were going to buy medicine and they were confronted. A confrontation between groups and they were detained by the other group. It's kind of a strange story.
How nervous would you be driving into a Mexican border town?
I
would be really scared. I would never even consider doing that. Especially, there's many areas in Mexico that the U.S. has sent out travel warnings. Don't go there.
Yeah, in fact, that's just come out. Well, the State Department's had one out, but now that spring break is coming, it's advising people that there were certain sections of the country you should not travel to because it might not be safe considering the upheaval that's constantly going on there with the drug cartels and the government fighting constantly.
Wow.
Yeah. It says here, Matamoros is notorious for warring factions of the Gulf drug cartel, and the violence has been so bad that the U.S. consulate has issued an alert following the kidnapping.
Wow, that is such a dangerous country.
It says here that, this was considered a place to go to called the Two Nation Vacation. Spring breakers would flock to Texas's South Padre Island and then head over to Matamoros for the Two Nation Vacation. You get it?
Yeah, but
in the last 10 or 15 years, it's gotten more violent there and it's scared away a lot of people.
That region is called Tamaulipas. It's one of the states in Mexico. The U.S. State Department issued a level 4 do not travel advisory.
All right.
And what they're warning about is crime and kidnapping. Because they target public and private buses, private automobiles. They often take passengers and demand ransom payments. Well, who needs that on a vacation?
And we still don't know any update on the public defender from Orange County, Elliot Blair.
Yeah.
Who was found dead in January in Rosarito when he went out to celebrate his 1-year wedding anniversary with his wife. And again, Mexican officials are saying he fell from a balcony, probably was drunk.
Now,
the family says they don't believe that, particularly the injuries, 40 fractures to the back of his skull like he had been beaten.
Now, Mexican law enforcement killed him.
That's the contention of the family. And again, the only backup to that they had is that they were stopped earlier in the evening and they were basically being shook down for money. For some sort of, quote, traffic violation.
And I guess they didn't have enough. See, that all that stuff is scary. I mean, it's like whenever somebody, in the family or friends suggest, let's go to Mexico. I mean, outside of, some of the resort areas. And even those areas are getting questionable.
Right.
Because you have to get to the resort. Once you get inside the resort, you might be safe. But right. On your way in, you've got to drive there. And they're targeting buses, too. They don't even leave the tourists alone anymore.
Oh, I love this. Victims of violence in Matamoros and other large border cities often go uncounted because the cartels have a history of taking the bodies of their own with them. So yeah, it's not always counted in the...
And there's not going to be any witnesses who are going to talk. Like that public defender, his wife's out of luck. No one's ever going to speak.
Probably so.
You know, and what are you going to do if the police are all corrupted, Mexican government's corrupted, and everyone's afraid to speak because they'll get shot in the head next?
Right.
I mean, she knows what happened. They're never going to catch the perpetrator. That's just, you can't go there.
Oh, speaking of Mexico, we did learn this afternoon that that's where the Newsoms went. They went to Cabo. Remember, he left the state?
Oh, yeah.
They just came back yesterday.
Didn't they go to Mexico a year or two ago and somebody snapped photos?
Oh, that they were staying at some villa, but that was never, right. That was never definitively proven.
Well, it was them in the photos.
No, it was the Newsoms' claim, though. We didn't stay in that villa. We were just at a nearby hotel. The contention was he was staying in this rich person's villa.
And yeah,
the Newsoms, I think, denied that. They didn't deny they were on the beach, but...
Yeah, well, I don't believe their denials.
Yeah, well, they'll deny your denials.
He lies about a lot of things. So this is why he wouldn't talk about where they were vacationing, because they didn't want photographers to pick up him lying on the beach.
Yeah, maybe.
In his creamy, milky...
Yeah, they tell you after they come back. Oh, yeah, we were in Cabo.
Yeah, meantime, people have 9 feet of snow dumped on their head in Lake Arrowhead, and the state isn't providing enough help to get them out while this guy is sunning his milky white body.
When we come back, we'll hear from Newsom's chief governor rival, that's Ron DeSantis, who made a visit to the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on live from 1 until 4. And after 4 o'clock, you could hear the show as a podcast. Same program. John and Ken on demand.
There's not a new one coming. No.
No, it's the same crap, just repackaged. And you can,
I'd like us to do 3 more out of the podcast, 3 more hours. But
you got to pay. Anyway, you get the same stuff again after 4 o'clock on the podcast. John and Ken on Demand is what it's called.
But the point is, if you missed it, or it's so valuable you want to listen to it again and analyze it, sure, you can stop and start John Cobelt's rants in motion. Anyway, yeah, you go to KFIAM640.com or use the iHeart Radio app. Well, we're still a ways away from people actually voting for the next round of presidential candidates. Of course, next year brings us the primaries and the caucuses and all that crap. But we're getting to the time in the next few months where anybody that seriously wants to run for president probably has to get in there, because you got to do fundraising and organizing and all that stuff, lining everything up. We had a visit from someone who's not in the race officially yet, but most expect he will be. The Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and of course he's been engaging in a back and forth with dippity-doo, California Governor Newsom, going back to last year and the year before, comparing the two states over the lockdowns and many other issues. As you know, Newsom actually took out advertising in Florida to try to make the point that California is a freer state, which is weird.
Yeah, he does really silly stuff.
He does. It's kind of juvenile, and you're right.
It's like, look, we're freer than you are. See? What are you talking about?
But I think he thought it was brilliant because it was a very small media buy, but he got lots of media attention. You see that?
No.
I only spent a small amount of money actually running an ad in Florida, but everybody did the story.
Every public figure who does stupid things thinks that they're doing something brilliant. So self-awareness is you don't find in most public figures. What you just have to look at the actual facts of the case, and clearly Florida is a far better place to live. I've visited enough. It is a better place to live than here. And
yes, in terms of the government structure and the rules and...
Well, yeah, they didn't lock down the schools for a year and a half, and they didn't have these mask and vaccine mandates, and they have far lower taxes. And they have a far lower standard of living. I mean, you could buy a house, a nice house, for not an insane amount of money.
Although that's changing. We heard that some of the wealthy are starting to migrate there and buy up properties in some communities.
Oh, it's definitely it's definitely driving up prices, but they're building homes there. They don't have all these artificial restrictions and regulations. They're building up as fast as they can.
So DeSantis was at the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley yesterday. We'll start with this clip taking a shot at Newsom.
Hello, California. I know you guys got a lot of problems out here, but your governor's very concerned about what we're doing in Florida, so I figured I had to come by.
Yep. Now we'll play the second clip where he gets into the core of his message and I guess his candidacy dealing with the woke left.
We also reject some of the terrible legislative reforms that have been enacted in various states across this country. Some have released violent people from prison prematurely. Others have done things like New York abolish cash bail. So you'll have a police officer risk their lives to apprehend somebody, bring them in, the judge releases them, and then 2 weeks later, that person's committed another offense, and the cop's got to risk his life again to apprehend the same person that should have never been on the street to begin with. You have seen that experiment in abolishing cash bail fail throughout this country, and in Florida, we're not tolerating it and not going to allow it to happen. And what's made it even worse is we've seen in city after city, including LA and San Francisco, prosecutors, progressive so-called prosecutors, elected usually with large campaign contributions from people like George Soros. And they get elected saying they are going to pursue not the public safety, but what they consider to be social justice. And so what they do is they will identify laws that they disagree with, and they will simply refuse to enforce those laws. I had a fellow from San Francisco tell me he had someone break into his home. Cops come out. They say, you're not going to file a report on this. He's like, of course I am. They broke into my home. And they're like, well, they're never going to bring charges on this. And I'm thinking to myself, someone can break into your home and they won't prosecute? No wonder the city's been hollowed out. And so if you are a prosecutor and you think you don't like certain laws, the appropriate recourse is to resign your position, run for the legislature, and then try to change the laws. But you are not a law unto yourself as a prosecutor.
And that's kind of what Gascon has done with his directives, right?
And why can't we have one legislator say that out loud and then follow through on it? If I remember correctly, DeSantis has gotten rid of one particular DA who is not following the law. I mean, Gascon's not following the law. He should be. I know the attorney general could sideline him in some way.
Right.
Rob Bonta can do that. They're threatening to do that in New York State as well. The governor of New York threatened to do it to the Manhattan DA, because you're not legally supposed to refuse to enforce the law if you're the district attorney. That's crazy stuff. In fact, the New York City Mayor Eric Adams says there's 2,000 people who repeatedly catch, release, and repeat in crimes. 2,000 people. That's all you got to get off the streets in New York City.
And what did we talk about leading off the show today? The guy that was involved in the carjacking and the wild chase on Friday, long criminal history. Don't tell me he wouldn't still be in prison if we didn't change all these laws and reduce all these charges that we've been doing. So, it's kind of what DeSantis was talking about.
Do sane people question this stuff anymore? Or you just kind of go along? Well, how could you possibly have a policy that lets people go free immediately after they commit the crime? No prosecution, no jail time, no arrests in a lot of cases. Why do you want this?
Here's our last clip from DeSantis.
And so it's ideology run amok. That's why the quality of life has declined in places like San Francisco and New York City and Philadelphia and Chicago. It's all rooted in that. And that woke ideology rejects the core foundational principles that have made this country great. So in Florida, we say very clearly, we will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Our state is where woke goes to die.
And there you go. Woke goes to die.
And here, woke is the state religion. Here, criminals are embraced by the governor, by the legislature, by the district attorney, by the mayor and the city council. None of them have anything bad to say about a single criminal ever. No matter how many heinous stories hit the news, do you notice you never see any of them say anything negative about the criminal? Never. They never say anything about how crazy it is that the guy was on the street. Like what happened Friday with this wild chase, right? He's got a long criminal history. Nobody wants to explain the details of the criminal history, but not one politician said, you know what? Somebody made a huge error here. And it's got to stop. Nobody will say that out loud. Why is that?
It's just like they don't hold the homeless responsible. It's always the fault of society that someone's driven to crime.
It's garbage thinking.
Of course it is.
It's absolutely absurd thinking. And I know what it is. It's all based on race, because then you get a disproportionate amount of people of color in prison. And everybody with a brain in their heads would say, no, you don't look at the color. You look at what they did. Look at what they did. If they did it, they go to prison. It doesn't matter what color they are. But somehow they inverted the entire justice system over this idea that you have to bean count the races, the racial representation inside a prison. Like, no, you don't. The only people in there are supposed to be guilty people.
There, of course, were protesters who showed up yesterday outside the Ronald Reagan Library. One of them spray painted defascist, another one called them de Satan.
Yeah, I know. That's the new cool term. They think they're being
anarchists,
clever.
Right?
Yeah, it's the same crowd. They're always going to show up. They're always going to have their clever little nicknames. I mean, I saw a few of these people on TV. I don't even know why they covered them. I mean, just sad looking dirty hippies is what they were.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, I got to admit, this time an El Segundo Times columnist hit on something when writing about the homeless and the homeless that are in the RVs. And we're talking about one big place, the Bolona Wetlands on the west side in the area of Marina del Rey, where there's been an effort to try to get them out of there. There's, of course, that complete sort of unincorporated area in southern Los Angeles County we mentioned last week, with like 500 people living in RVs, but because there's really no organized government there and not as many neighbors, or at least more well-to-do neighbors, there isn't as big an uproar over it. But anyway, the epiphany that this writer hit on, and we'll talk about it after 3 o'clock, is that the RV people don't believe they're homeless. That's the problem. They don't consider themselves homeless. We'll talk about the aspects of that after the news at 3 o'clock on the John and Ken Show. Here's another whopper from old Joe Biden. They do this every year. They go to Selma, Alabama to sort of relive the civil rights movement and make a speech. It's the 58th anniversary of the Bloody Sunday March, part of the 1960s civil rights movement. It's just what the Democrat presidents do. But here's part of what he said that got some attention.
I was a student up north in the civil rights movement. I remember feeling how guilty I was. I wasn't here. How could we all be up there and you going through what you went through, looking at those? I can still picture the troopers with their batons and wands and whips.
I can still picture.
He's a lying sack, isn't he?
He's apparently said this kind of thing before.
He
was involved in a movement.
He was never, never marching in a civil rights movement. He was never doing that.
There is no historical evidence to ever support Biden's claim. Now, what he said yesterday was just, he was sort of commiserating as a student up north.
Commiserating?
Well, I made up that word just to use it as. He didn't say that. But you could get that in the speech he was making, that he sympathized.
He is a total phony. He's done this many times.
Apparently in 1983, he actually claimed that he did participate in sit-in protests to desegregate public spaces. When I was 17, I participated in sit-ins to desegregate restaurants and movie houses. My stomach turned hearing the voices of Fabus and Wallace. My soul raged in seeing Bull Connor and his dogs, and he's referring to some Birmingham officials.
Well, he was a senator in 1983.
George Wallace he's talking about.
He was a senator in 1983, so where's the proof of that? That would have been in the news.
He also claims since the 80s that he walked out of a restaurant as a high school student because a black student wasn't welcome there. But the former student actually came forward and said, no white people stood up for me. It didn't happen. That happened in 1987. This guy, he said he was only 16 back in the 60s. And he told this story in 1987 to the Philadelphia Inquirer.
He's a compulsive BS guy. Because he knows it's hard to prove or disprove anything. I mean, anybody can do that, right? We could all say we were part of some civil rights movement, and how's anybody going to know? All right? I mean, people lie in their resumes all the time. They constantly puff up their accomplishments or their history. It's easy to do, and he just doesn't care. He doesn't care how many times he's caught lying. He just goes out and does it again anyway. You're cool, Joe.
On another political note, it apparently has been revealed that the then president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, told staffers, don't investigate this lab leak theory when it comes to the origins of COVID-19 because, quote, that's just a Trump talking point. So this is how you should understand how coverage really works in the real world today.
Yeah.
That these news directors and news editors and assignment editors don't want certain things, whether they're true or not, covered because it just lays credence to the opposition.
Yeah. So now, you know, we have within just this month, you've got all the reports coming out of Fox that they intentionally spread Trump's election lies because they didn't want to lose audience. Much of their audience believed the 2020 election was fraudulent, so they put on the parade of lunatics like Rudy Giuliani to make that case. And some of the hosts agreed with the crazy people, and some of them just allowed the crazies to talk endlessly.
Right.
Now, here you have CNN. That is one way to distort the news, just by the outright lie or allow someone else to lie on your air. The other way to distort it is to not cover something.
Right, just omit it. Right.
And this is interesting because I saw this talking point phrase used over the weekend on CNN. Dana Bash was interviewing Eric Adams, the New York mayor. We'd mentioned this a few minutes ago, and Eric Adams was talking about these ridiculous laws leads to high crime, same people committing crimes over and over again. And she said, aren't you just feeding into a Republican talking point that the cities are unsafe? Well,
revealing.
This is the same thing. Someone can say something that's true, and the response is, well, that's a Republican talking point. That's a Trump talking point. Aren't you feeding into that? So you can never make a true statement if it's critical of the party in power. Well, that's just the opposition talking point. That's nonsense. And this is what you get from CNN, both in this Trump case.
And apparently the New York Times did this. MSNBC did this.
Yeah.
They all were leading a parade of trying to debunk the idea of a COVID being a lab leak because, it's just racist to say that. And it's a talking point for our opposition.
And they made up a fake racism charge because they know that would intimidate people. This is why you have so many progressives in the media now, and they know the playbook. Well, you're not speaking truth. You're just using a Trump talking point, a Republican talking point.
It's the same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop. Don't go with that story because that just feeds the opposition.
Right.
We can't give that any credence. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. We're not even going to investigate it.
And
if we're asked, we'll just say it's probably disinformation. That's a great line that I like to use. A disinformation campaign.
Right. So CNN is like Pravda in Russia. They don't tell the truth. The truth is that the virus came from that Chinese lab, and they wouldn't admit it or even talk about it. This was fascinating, is they went beyond denying it or not investigating it, but they worked actively to shut down discussion, where if you brought it up, there was this media critic called Oliver Darcy, and he worked at CNN, and I guess he was the designated stooge to say that, well, this is a debunked theory. Well, who debunked it? You? They declared things debunked before they've even been investigated.
All right. When we return, we'll once again talk about the vagrants. This collection of vagrants are the ones that live in their RVs, who do not consider themselves homeless. Well,
we'll see if we can make any sense out of that. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.